It's easy to have faith when life is good. Faith in humanity, faith in the goodness and meaning of life, and faith that, behind it all, there is a real God who is with us and loves us. But then life happens, real life, hard life. Nothing turns out quite like we think it will. If you've been there, or if you are there right now, I get it. Boy, do I get it. And that is why I am glad you are here. Because when you and I choose to pull together rather than push apart, the very thing that held the power to destroy us becomes the means to helping us find the life and relationships we've always been looking for. I'm Michelle Cashat, and welcome to This Undone Life Together. Hello there, everyone. Michelle Cashat here. I'm trying to get the camera right. Because, you know, it never goes according to plan. Anyway, hello there, Michelle Cashat. It is the end of the week. And before we go into the weekend, I thought I would do a live really quick. For those of you who are new to my lives, I always download these later and put them on my YouTube channel called This Undone Life Together. And my team is in the process of stripping them, and so we can upload them to podcasts as well, but I prefer just to do video. So anyway, today I'm talking about four steps to tackling criticism. And the reason for that is because I've had some as of late. Yay for me. But the truth is all of us have dealt with criticism at different points in time. And earlier this week, I wrote a blog post that went live on Tuesday night about when criticism cuts deep. You can find it on my blog by going to michellecashat.com/blog. And you can search for criticism and that post will pop up. It's called When Criticism Cuts Deep. And I shared actually what is probably my worst book review ever. And I can't, even to this day, can't quite believe that I publicized it even more. Like, I really want to spread the word about this terrible review. But the point is that every now and then we get a review or we get feedback or we get criticism from somebody, and man, it just, it hits hard. It's like a knife to the heart, right? And I'm in my late 40s. Don't tell anybody. I need you all to send me messages telling me how I look much younger. But I'm in my late 40s, and you would think I would be over this by now, that it would be a piece of cake dealing with criticism. And yet, every now and then, one comes in, an email or a message, or like this was a book review or a YouTube review or whatever, and it's like a knife to the heart. So what I thought I would do today, you can read the post and hear that story, but what I thought I'd do today on this video is to kind of give you my process of walking through criticism, because all of us deal with it from time to time, whether it's a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a colleague, whatever. But I'm going to share with you my process of what I do when I get hit with unexpected criticism. And I'm not talking about constructive criticism. I'm talking about that kind of stuff that really knocks you over, right? Actually, even constructive. We'll just say any kind of feedback that's uncomfortable, all right? So this is my process through walking through really difficult criticism or feedback. And the irony, I have to tell you before I dig into these four steps, I posted that blog post on Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I woke up and there was an email from another critic waiting for me. Oh, it just cracked me up. I mean, what are the chances, right? So I post this and I woke up to yet another email. Such is life. It's the way it works. So this is my process. So let's say, and we'll just use this weekend because, you know, sometimes, I hate to say it, the criticism that wounds us the most come from family and close friends or extended family members. And we might be hanging around with some of those people this weekend. So, and if you are watching this next week in the work week, you may be dealing with it with people at work or church or wherever it may be. So this is my process for tackling criticism. Step number one, first, get grounded. Before you do anything else, before you read that email 12 times or listen to that voicemail a dozen times or read that text message again and again or whatever it is, before you rehash it all, first stop everything you're doing and get grounded. You have to get very, very grounded in who you are. That means you need to get very, very clear about your safety, basically, that you need to remind yourself, I'm okay. Okay, this is somebody else's opinion. I'm okay. I am okay. I'm all right. This is one person, not 100 people. I don't have to agree. I don't have to feel the same way this person does. And this is the most important. Before you do anything else, you need to remind yourself, I'm already loved. Love is not at stake here. I'm already loved. And even if you have nobody on the entire planet who loves you, the reality is that God already loves you. Flat, hands down. Loved you before you were born. Knew you before you were born. You are loved, period. So that's established. So love, your worthiness, your value is not at stake here. All right? So get very grounded. Do whatever you have to do to remind yourself that you're okay. That this is one person, not 100. By the way, that's a really critical thing. We tend to attribute one person's opinion to the whole, right? We think one person's opinion is 100 people's opinion. So it's really important to get grounded. It's one person's opinion. I don't have to agree. Certainly don't have to agree. And then one, I'm already loved. It's already established. So get very, very grounded in who you are. Second, consider the source. This is my second step. So after I get grounded, I consider the source and the context. First of all, is this somebody I know? If it's somebody I know and love, then it might carry a little bit more weight. If it's a stranger, it's a little bit different. If this person has never had a single conversation with me, not a single one, then their criticism is not quite as powerful. If they've never asked me a single question or engaged in any kind of life with me, they don't really know me. So I have to take that into consideration. Also, if it's anonymous, when I receive anonymous feedback, my immediate response is to disregard. I don't pay attention to critique and criticism that comes anonymously, because my opinion is if you aren't confident enough in your position to attach your name to it, then it's not really worth my time. If you are really convicted and you feel strongly at your point of view and you really feel that it's your job to let me know how wrong you think I am, then you need to attach your name to it. If it comes in honestly, unfortunately, no. Sorry. It's not something I pay attention to. So this is considered your source and your context. Find out if it's somebody you know. If it is anonymous or a stranger, here's another thing to consider with source and context. Is it solicited or unsolicited feedback? If you have asked for feedback and then you don't like it, you asked for it, so you have to deal with it to some extent. If it's unsolicited feedback and criticism, then that changes it for me as well. I didn't ask for this, and it helps me to take it into context, okay? So remember, you're okay. This is one person, not 100 people. You don't have to agree. You're already loved. And then consider the source and the context. Is this somebody I know? Have they attached their name to it? Is it a stranger? Is it somebody who has never engaged in any conversation with me? And is it solicited or unsolicited? Now, the answers to those, I told you just to consider the source and context. It doesn't mean that their feedback is immediately thrown out, but it is important to take it into consideration because it matters according to the weight that you give this kind of feedback. I give more weight to the feedback of my trusted mentors and friends than I do a stranger that I have never met before, okay? And so it's important to weigh that. Okay, step number three, stay curious. This is going to make me sound like a therapist, but it's actually really good advice. Stay curious. In other words, stay in your prefrontal cortex. Stay in the executive function part of your brain, the cerebral cortex. Stay up there so that way you can stay curious. So you can kind of disregard some of the emotional loadedness of the feedback and instead just stay in your head, okay? And ask yourself, is there anything at all I could possibly learn here? Is there anything at all that might be helpful, that might be interesting, that might be a unique point of view that would have some value and be helpful to me? Is there anything at all that can help me develop my character, my leadership, my work performance, my relational skills in any kind of way. Some ways that I stay curious is, first of all, I pray about it. When I get criticism, I have to take it and say, God, okay, you know me better than anyone else. Is there something you're trying to teach me through this person's criticism? The reality is we can learn from even the most harsh critics. We can learn from people that are misbehaving horribly. I like using the word misbehaving. We can still learn something. Just because somebody does a terrible job of offering feedback doesn't mean we have nothing to learn. So I separate myself emotionally from their delivery, because their delivery may be horrible, but I separate myself emotionally from that. But intellectually, I stay curious. Is there anything at all that I might be able to learn from this? Is there something that I can gain from this? Sometimes, quite honestly, there's not. But I begin with praying about it. I take it to God, ask him, is there something that you're trying to teach me that I need to pay attention to? Second is I process privately. I try not to go on a rant publicly, okay? I posted that blog post this week, but that review actually came almost a month ago. So I allowed some time to process privately. And I also invited my most trusted friends to speak into this as well. If I really think it's important and it's something that I really don't want to just ignore, but I want to see if there's something I can learn, I take it to some of my closest friends. And these are not just yes people. These are people that tell me the truth. I can count on them to tell me the truth. And I will say, is this true? Is this true of me? Do you see this? Is there something I can learn from this? And I can usually trust them to tell me the truth on that. And then, so that's step number three, stay curious. So far, first, get grounded. Second, consider the source and context. Third, stay curious, right? Stay in the headspace. Don't go to the emotional, reactive, defensive heart place. And then fourth, let it go. I mean, do what you can to learn something from it. Try your best to listen to the criticism you receive by weeding out the emotionally charged content. Consider the source and the context. Be grounded in who you are. But then you gotta just let it go. Criticism comes in all the time. So here's another example. It's probably a year or more ago, I wrote an article for a very, very large site. So I wrote an online article. In it, I talked about the Apostle Paul in the Bible. The Apostle Peter, the disciple Peter in the Bible. And I made a comment about how he was an ordinary fisherman, okay? And I did it in the context of how he was a fisherman, and then Jesus asked him to leave everything to follow him, okay? That's the story in the Bible. But I used, if I remember right, I used the words ordinary fisherman. Well, I had somebody write me that was livid that I was bashing blue-collar workers and that wasn't valuing the fishing profession. Absolutely true. Not kidding. And I thought, whoa, yeah, I actually am a fisherwoman. I love to fish. So that, you know, I'm like blown away, and I would never, ever, ever, ever want to bash blue collar work. I come from a very long line of copper miners, for crying out loud. We are blue collar. And I'm like, okay, so what's going on here? But she was so upset, so angry, and so certain of my motives and my heart. And I had to walk to first get grounded. Is this, you know, who am I? Who am I really? I'm okay. It's one person's opinion. I can certainly listen to it. I don't have to agree. I am loved. Second step, consider the source and context. Well, I never had met this person. It was a reader. I had never met this person before. We'd never engaged in a conversation. In her email, she didn't start by asking if I was trying to bash. She just assumed and made a proclamation that this is what I was doing. I'm always much more receptive to people who write me and give me the benefit of the doubt and say, I assume, or I believe that this is probably not your intention, but this is how it came across. That's entirely different than an email that starts out by saying, how dare you? I can't believe your nerve that you would do this. And so I consider the source and the context. I also recognize that in her emotion, that she likely had a wound from long before that had nothing to do with me, right? I was just getting the fallout from pain that she had before she ever read the article I wrote. Three, I stayed curious. I'm like, is there anything I can learn from this? And I thought, I need to make sure I am always very respectful of people in multiple different kinds of professions, whether blue collar, white collar, whatever it may be, or even unemployed, to have respect for the wide variety of people that read what I write and make sure that I am sensitive to and respectful of a diverse audience. And so that was, it was actually helpful for me. I didn't appreciate her approach, but I definitely, there was something that I could learn and take to heart that could make me a better leader and speaker and writer in the long run. And then finally, I let it go. Now, I did mention it today, so technically I brought it back up. But until this video, I hadn't thought of that until, I hadn't thought of that for probably a year. So I moved on. Life went on. It's not going to change what I do. It's not going to keep me up and awake at night. It's not going to make me sick to my stomach. It's okay. She's allowed to her opinion. There's something I can learn, but I'm not going to let it devastate me. So that is my process. And even though it doesn't happen very often, I don't get tons and tons of criticism. It does happen. You know, that's part of the nature of being a writer and speaker, is you put stuff out there and you can't always control how people will receive it or process it. You have to be willing to risk being misunderstood. But it is more important to me, relationships and the value of connected relationships is far, far more worth the risk of one or two people here and there misunderstanding. What we gain here in this space is so valuable. So I need to, that's part of my staying grounded too, is to remember the value and the worth and comparing it with the risk. And the risk is relatively small, relatively small. All right, so to recap, first, get grounded. Second, consider the source and the context. Third, stay curious, stay in that upper part of your brain rather than feeling yourself pulled into a battle of defensiveness. It doesn't serve anybody very well. And then four, let it go. I will probably do another video coming up next on how to reply and respond to criticism, because I have my own process for responding to criticism. When I receive an email, which I did yesterday, that was very critical of me, I had a whole process of how I was going to reply to that email, and I would love to share that with you too. So you'll have to come back next week, and I will record another video on how to reply and respond to criticism that doesn't feel very good. So thank you, friends, for hanging out with me. I hope this is helpful. If it is, heaven forbid you should deal with criticism this weekend, but if you do, remember, first get grounded, second consider the source and context, stay curious, and then let it go. You will have a much better weekend if you learn how to hang on to those four steps to tackling criticism. Thanks for hanging out with me, friends. If nobody tells you this weekend, I just want you to know I am crazy about you. And I love doing this Undone Life together. Have a good one. Whatever led you here today, I want you to know two things before you go. You aren't alone, not even close. And two, you matter and your story matters. We need you more than you know. Thank you for joining me today, my friends. Have a question or comment? Share it below, please. Do you know a loved one who could use a little hope and community too? Share this episode with them. And to be sure you don't miss our time together, subscribe to this podcast and my YouTube channel, and you'll be notified each time I post a new episode. Until then, brothers and sisters, I love you, and I love doing this Undone Life together.